don't need no education. Welcome to Education Nation, where every Saturday morning at 10:30, we grab our second cup of coffee and tackle the biggest issues in American education. Your host is the headmaster of Liberty Classical Academy, Rebecca Hagstrom, along with co-host Pete Hegseth. School is now in session.
Well, good morning, KLBB listeners. Welcome to another show of Education Nation, where we always have fun, Pete and I, talking about educational issues.
We sure do.
But today we're going to do something a little bit different, aren't we?
We are. It's a special show.
Yeah, it is. We're going to be taking live calls from people and live feed questions through our Education Nation Facebook page, which we actually already have a question or two that's been posted on our Facebook page.
That's right. We want any and all comers, please.
Yes,
the number here is 651-275-1220. 651-275-1220. Questions about your school, about education generally, about specific education questions, the election, anything you're interested in, we want to be talking about this morning. You know, what is it? Rush Limbaugh does Open Line Fridays. This is sort of like, I don't know, Insanity Saturdays. Whatever you want to talk about.
651-275-1220. The election.
That's right. Well, there's insanity swirling everywhere right now, so we might as well add to it. 651-275-1220. There's also insanity in my house right now because my wife is out of town. I'm in charge, and there's a huge fort in my living room.
You know what? I actually saw that post of your little boy with little Boone, and I actually got a fun picture from your wife from the airport last night because you guys passed each other at the airport.
We did.
And she said, how appropriate is this? And I said, yes, that is very appropriate.
For we did. My wife and I basically see each other in airport terminals. this is life right now. So,
but the boys are with Grandma, I'm sure.
They're with Grandma right now, yep, as we do this show, but mm-hmm. I will be going back, and it'll be night number two in the fort tonight.
So. That sounds like fun.
Dad likes it as much as they do.
Of course you do, and they love it with you.
They do, but they also, I'll make my education pivot, they obviously... They were wearing their Liberty shirts until the end of the night because they oftentimes wear them all day because they love them, because
that's
they love your
cute.
School.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that.
It's
glad
true.
To hear that.
Well, should we jump into a
let's
question?
Jump into it. Yes,
so we've got one. Again, give us a shout if you've got a question, 651-275-1220, 651-275-1220 for either Rebecca Hagstrom or myself or both of us. And right now we've got a comment on our Facebook page, and Rebecca's going to read it.
We do. It's actually kind of a long one, so bear with me here, listening audience. It says, with Minnesota having implemented Common Core English Language Arts in its public schools, I read that the decision to review implementation of the math component has been tabled to the legislature until 2023, which I can make some comments about that a little bit later, too. She says, to me, Common Core is a wholly political tool created by the NGA and Democratic Party to literally dumb down our nation's children. When comparing Common Core to classical education, I am boggled by how vastly inept Common Core is, and I'm sickened that schools are simply letting the fine arts fall to the wayside in favor of compartmentalized education. Can you share with us the advantages of classical education on the mental development of children from K to 12? Thank you.
Wow, that's a good question.
That's a good question.
There's about 9 different things we could unpack
there.
I'll toss that back to you. Can you share with us the advantages of classical education on the mental development of children from K through 12?
And honestly, there are many, because the whole element of classical education that makes it so successful is that it coordinates beautifully with a child's natural progression of cognitive development. Mm-hmm. So when children are at the lower school age, if anybody studies up on cognition, what you find is that they're very concrete thinkers. Mm-hmm. So that means that they basically don't have the ability to think outside of the here and now and what they see. And so what you do is you take advantage of where they're at.
Okay.
And you fill them with facts and basics from each of the subject areas through songs, chants, and rhymes, and things that they can memorize really easily and they enjoy doing. Because, you know, you think about your own kids, Pete, they will read the same book or watch the same movie over and over, and pretty soon they've memorized what it says.
Yep.
And that's the case with learning. So when we're in school, we can teach them the chemical elements through a song. We teach them residence through a song, and we do grammar through chants. And
you don't forget it.
You don't.
I think of all the different tricks I use going into tests that I use just for like 10 seconds before the test, and then it went out of my brain as soon as the test was over. But a song that you heard when you were in sixth grade, you still never forget.
It's exactly right. And yet, for some reason, schools have gone away from this type of education, even though we used it. It dates back to Greco-Roman times, really. But that said, it works so well on, as this person asked, why is this better for them from a mental standpoint or from a cognitive standpoint is the word that I would use. It's because it does coordinate with their cognitive development. So then when they're in the middle school and they want to understand topics, they start to be kind of argumentative at that age. Once again, you take advantage of it and you teach them logic and you teach them what is a fallacy and what is a good argument and how to research. And that way they can really get to the bottom of what each topic area, how to understand each subject that they're learning. And then when they reach high school, when they're cognitively able to really start going outside of themselves and start forming their own opinions, then we want them to have to defend those opinions. So rather than having little kids doing opinions without any basis for it, which is happening more and more now in schools.
It's so true. That's exactly what I was just going to say. Yeah. Thank goodness right now we're really valuing the opinions of 7-year-olds.
Right. And this is...
You know what I mean? I mean, someone could take that out of context and say, oh, you know... No, listen. I want my kids to think creatively. I want... Sure. All of those things are fine. But what my kid knows about... good and evil, left and right, up and down. I mean, he's got intuition, God-given intuition.
Right, right.
But otherwise, I mean, he needs to learn before I want to know what he thinks about pretty much anything.
Yeah, well, and I do believe that part of the reason why it's happening, that students are being asked to give their opinion at younger and younger ages, is in response to this outcry from college professors, from business leaders across the nation, that our students are not critical thinkers. And it's a lack of understanding of child development that would say, well, then we got to give them the opportunity to do critical thinking at younger and younger ages, because maybe if they do it longer, they'll be better at it. But no, that's not really the case, because cognitively speaking, they're not ready
to be critical thinking.
Right. You got to give them the foundation of all the subjects before they would have anything to critically think about.
Then
the skills to be able to do it.
Well, it's true. And so instead, you sort of kids that are they live their life pontificating about things they don't know that much about,
right.
But their opinions are more adamant and more adamantly formed because they formed them sooner or through their own exploration, as opposed to having a foundation. And that's where you get, there's so much humility that also comes with knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
The more you learn,
mm-hmm.
The more you realize the depth of the human condition and our history, and that, you know, you're not the center of the universe, which is an important thing to learn in life.
Kids aren't learning that today.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when I realized, like, actually no one else in the world is thinking about me right now. Like, nobody. Nobody cares, okay? Except your parents and your mom and everybody else. That's all true. That's an important thing. And if you're not learning that at some level through education at multiple different steps to build authentic self-esteem, to achieve, to be given the building blocks, then we are really failing our kids. And that's the point of the show. I love starting with that question, because it's why you started the school. It's why we're doing this, is to proliferate an idea of what good education looks like,
right.
So that as many people as possible can
have it. Exactly.
That's what they deserve.
Well, Pete, let's move to another
question.
Yeah, I've
got one. So I got a direct message from a buddy who said, he basically said, stop kidding around and talking about things other than the presidential election, because everyone's talking about the presidential election. Now, we're not gonna get into all the ins and outs of it, but his question basically was, why is it that education is never a higher, a more talked about issue at the presidential
election? I think that is a fabulous question. And honestly, Pete, I asked that question too, and the only thing that I can come back to, and you probably have some thoughts on this as well, but my only thought is that people take the short view. And education, number one, I think we've taken for granted for a long time that we have an excellent educational system in America.
Yep.
And, you know, those of us who went through it, we came out just fine.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there's just that notion that, oh, there's nothing wrong. I don't need to be thinking about education.
Sure.
But even as we're starting to realize there are issues, I think the candidates themselves constantly are looking for the short fix, the quick fix. And, you know, let's face it, the economy and terrorism are two issues that are, you know, you think about the tyranny of the urgent, we got to fix those things, you know, right away. It's so then education goes to the background.
That's right. It's not even just the tyranny of the urgent. It's the tyranny of the poll, the tyranny of the, that's what that's what people look at, and candidates respond to what people are voting on or making decisions on. And if education suddenly became the top issue, candidates would be talking about it.
The sad fact is, though, Pete, that education really does form the culture. And I know you have a favorite Lincoln quote that says the philosophy of the classroom in one generation is the philosophy of government in the next. And this is a very, very true statement that I think people forget. And so if we want to affect change in our culture, the long view is education. And the progressives understood this a long time ago. And John Dewey came in the 1920s and really
turned... messing with my decimal system?
I'm sorry. Sorry. But there's, you know, there was some negative here. But John Dewey really took education and kind of flipped it, just ever so slightly adjusted it, and basically kind of put the child at the center and really what is education for. And where before we had this common notion of what we wanted education to do, the progressives understood that one of the best ways to change the culture is through the children. You know, the Nazis did this, the, you know, Islamists
this. Ideological movements identify that education at the earliest levels. Look at the Palestinian Authority. Look at the terrorist organizations that are perpetually, you know, creating anti-Israel, anti-Jewish propaganda. I mean, it's where they, now that's not, let's be clear as a statement, that's of course not what we're comparing progressives in America to.
No.
So we're not saying that. That's a very important caveat. I've been in the media enough to know that people are like, no, that's not what we're talking about. What we're saying is any movement from the extreme to the mainstream has to use some level of education to change the minds of people and in a particular direction. And I will say also to that question about the political environment is that for Republicans and conservatives, there's been a rejection of the federal role in government altogether. So a national candidate doesn't want to talk about education because the voters on the conservative side of the aisle don't believe our federal government should be dictating it. I mean, it's been get rid of the Department of Education as opposed to tinker with it. And but the left can always say more money, more money, more money, more bureaucrats. And that's the answer. We're always $5 billion away from utopia in their mind. So I think that's also part of the reason why it doesn't get talked about. I will say to this specific election, Trump has talked, has talked about how bad Common Core is, has talked about localizing it, giving more control to the local level. He has talked about educational choice and in his own ways, as Donald Trump always does. But he's hit on those themes multiple times, especially in inner cities where you've got kids trapped in schools who want a real choice and aren't being given one. And I do think that's a powerful bridge issue for conservatives going forward because so many in the inner cities have been left behind.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you on that, Pete, that really should be the number one issue for fixing our inner cities.
Yeah.
You know, one in eight African-American children in eighth grade, or one in six African-American children in eighth grade are not reading at grade level, Pete. One in six. That's a phenomenal number. And so you're right that that is one thing that Trump has talked about, that he wants money to follow the child and that he wants every child in the inner city to get an excellent education and through school choice options.
Yep, absolutely.
Which is, I firmly believe, a great way for him. You know, back to the question that asked you, that it is very important. Education is in the political process and it should be brought up, I think, into a much higher level of conversation.
Amen. Speaking of the conversation, give us a shout, 651-275-1220. 651-275-1220. I just got a note that we've got a caller on the line. Is he on right now? All right. Okay. Give us a shout out. Who do we got?
Hi, this is Terry Slattery.
Hi, Terry. How you doing? What's your question?
Good. Well, we've talked. I'm proud of my grandparents and what LCA is doing, or my grandchildren, I should say, and what LCA is doing to turn them into great citizens. And my question is this, when I'm talking to someone else as a very pleased grandparent about what you're doing for my family, one of the questions always comes up has to do with, yeah, but can they raise my ACT scores of my kids eventually? Can we deal with the ATP, or what do they call it, those advanced placement classes.
Yeah.
And the point is this. I know that there are things that I've heard in the briefings that you've done for us that tell us there's more to look at than just the ACT scores and how well they do in AP classes.
Mm-hmm.
What should we also like to add to their evaluation criteria for prospects that we're having conversations with about it before we send them to you?
Mm-hmm. Terry, that's a great question. I think that's on the top of mind for a lot of people. Okay, yes, I want to send my kids to a good school, but the tests matter and the stuff that comes out matters because the colleges and everything else. What would you say to that?
Well, first of all, I would say that our test scores are very high, so we can kind of set that aside.
And they are, by the way, top whatever in the nation.
Yeah, top 13% of the nation on the ACTs. So that piece you really can set aside simply because we are scoring very well. But aside from that, I really believe that we need to help Americans understand what true education is about. And this is kind of harkens back to what I was just saying, that it's not about a test score. It's not about, you know, how many AP classes you took. It's not about, you know, all the different things that you do to, you know, get into college. What is it about? It's about creating thinking citizens. Citizens who know how to evaluate information so that they can figure out what is a good idea, what is a bad idea, what is a good solution, what is a bad solution. And the only way to do that is through critical thinking. And you cannot teach excellent critical thinking skills through AP classes. And that's where, Terry, you know, as a classical school, we can point to the fact that a classical education does that.
Yeah.
And so helping people understand that that is a more important metric. And while that's not so easily measured, it's the very fact that it isn't so easily measured that makes it so
important.
Well,
Terry, it's such a great answer. And Terry, it's a fantastic question because it all goes back to what we should value as opposed to what we do value. And I spent a lot of time on the East Coast with so-called elite parents and all of this. And you know, the rat race of get your kid into at three to this school and then make sure they're testing well at four so they can get into this school. And it's all about the test to get into the school that they want to get into so they can be on the right track and succeed in life. All the while, and these are good parents wanting to do well by their children, they're never actually critically evaluating the content of those schools.
Right.
They're just looking at, can they go to the one with the best name at the top and the highest score to get them in there.
Yep.
So that's the value society places in a lot of our elite quarters.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're saying is, we still do well there. Don't worry about that.
Do.
You're going
yep.
to, but that's the logical end state of an educational process that is coherent and teaches these kids how to think and think rightly.
Yep.
That's what I love about it. But Terry, that question is real, and you guys confront that all the time because parents come in with that sense of, I want my kid to go to Harvard or I want my kid to go here. How can you help me get them there? And you can, and you will, and you have, but you can't just. It's life just isn't about the test score in every way
at the end of the day. And college, we're actually obviously very focused on college prep in terms of, you know, we are classically educating kids first, which makes them prepared for college. But really, college isn't the end goal, really. What we want ultimately is that they're excellent citizens, as I said before. And if we look at the content of what's being taught in many other schools, both public and private, I might add, there's a lack of history. There's a lack of understanding of our Constitution and how America was founded, how Western civilization developed. And so it is really important to be pointing that out. So now,
absolutely.
I hate to cut off that question, but I have another question that just came
you do.
Through.
You know what we're going
to
do?
We're going to take a quick break real quick.
So Terry, fantastic question. We got another question coming in. Give us a shout. We've still got about 10 minutes here of this live show. 651-275-1220. 651-275-1220. Education Nation takes a very quick break.
We don't need no education.
And we're back to Education Nation. And I just noticed our Jesse in the control room, he's wearing a shirt that says, I'd be a vegetarian if bacon grew on trees. It's one of the greatest shirts I've ever seen.
I did not even notice that, Jesse. That's
we have fun in the studio. Jesse does a great job, as does KLBB. We love being on this station and working with everybody here on Education Nation. So, Rebecca, we've got another question coming
in. Another question here from Debbie, and she asks, can you please tell me what, in your opinion, is the most important factor lacking in our public schools today? additionally, how would you fix this problem?
All right.
That second part is a little bit bigger.
We'll
might be
you...
here for the next day.
But... So we'll do a minute on what's wrong and a minute on how to fix it. What do you think?
Okay. Well, I mean, there's so much wrong. I'm going to start with saying Common Core. I believe that our educational system has been struggling for quite some time. And I understand that Common Core was kind of brought about as a solution, right? So it wasn't that people were trying to do something to harm the nation. It's just a solution that
I
think
is... It's been hijacked.
It has.
Like.
And that's, you know, if you don't know a lot about Common Core and you're listening to this show right now, I would encourage you to go back and listen to our three podcasts on Common Core. We did three shows on it. And all that to say that we definitely have lots of concerns with Common Core. It has affected the way students are learning English. And even in Minnesota, where math wasn't adopted, because of the standardized testing, which tests from a Common Core perspective, many of the schools have basically adopted Common Core math anyway.
And so, our message has been at this program, ask your teacher, ask your kid, ask your principal, ask your superintendent how they use it. Look at their homework. Ask the questions, because you may assume they're not public, private, charter, whatever, but they probably are, and you got to be aware of it.
The other thing that that really goes part and parcel with this is all of the emphasis now on data collection and standardized testing. So part of Common Core was to emphasize technology over you know, handwriting, which, you know... Philosophically, you might think, well, yeah, technology is a really important part of our culture today, and it is. You know, I've got my iPhone sitting right here, and so do you. But when it comes to actually teaching kids, technology isn't necessarily the best way to do it, but there's this assumption, there's this underlying premise that it must be the best way because that's what we do in our culture.
Sure.
But there is so much data that would suggest otherwise. But this has become kind of the best saying that I've heard referred to this technology revolution within the realm of education has been, it's like the gold rush. And all these technology companies are rushing to get involved because Common Core state standards really put an emphasis on technology, even in the young, lower school ages. There's no requirement for cursive writing in Common Core whatsoever. So how are students going to learn to read the documents of the Constitution or their grandparents' letters to them, you know, if they're not learning cursive writing? Also, we know that there's so many brain developmental benefits that come alongside.
Yeah, I mean, technology is a tool. So, this show has never been anti-technology.
No.
You obviously understand how you need to leverage it, and all that you learn is building toward the ability to leverage it in this world. But, man, for it's not a whiz-bang catch-all.
And go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Well, the thing I would just add on top of all that is I just step back from it and say, I walk into schools and see schools now and talk to parents now where patriotism isn't reinforced and the Pledge of Allegiance is not said.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would ask that question of your administrators, you know, does the school say the pledge? And if so, is it more than just like once a year at the assembly? Is it something that you do regularly? Because we all need those civic rituals to reinforce that we live in a special country.
Yeah. So, I mean, those are some pretty big things. Common Core, you know, overusage of technology, or over-reliance, I should say, on technology, data collection.
Yep.
There's a lot of privacy issues. There was actually a group of, huge group of individuals that wrote a petition to Secretary John King just this past June saying, hey, we have got to fix the FERPA because the FERPA law, which...
The FERPA?
Sorry, I shouldn't say that.
What's FERPA?
So FERPA, the Family Educational... Oh, I'm forgetting. It's, Privacy Act.
Okay.
You know,
got it.
So it has to do with the privacy. I don't remember exactly what the acronym stands for, but it has been so loosened up over the course of time that education technology companies like Google, like Khan Academy, Apple, a lot of these startups, they're accessing student information, and it is not well protected. So there's this petition from a huge number of people, and this isn't parents, this is business people that are saying, hey, we need to fix this, or I should say these are educational people that are saying to John King, we need to restrict the access to protect the privacy of children. And so all of that together, you know, along that, and that doesn't even go down the path of the whole moral lackings in our schools today.
Sure. No civics, no history,
right.
no, I mean, yeah.
Right.
So, okay, so all that said, We're always good at explaining the problem. What's the solution in 1 minute?
No, solution in one minute.
1 minute.
Classical Christian education.
There we go.
No, seriously.
No, right. I mean, if you can listen to the program, I think you get a sense of what it is. It's that alongside empowering parents and local folks.
Yeah. In fact, we're going to be doing a show next week, Pete, on local control, school boards.
Yes.
And, you know, right now we're in a tough place because so much of education is being dictated from both the state and federal level through the ESSA. And therefore, the local control has faltered. There's not nearly as much as there used to be. But, you know, if we're going to save this country in terms of, you know, the freedoms that we enjoy, we have to figure this out. And it's not, it's a complex situation because there is so much influence from the teachers unions, from the federal ESSA, from the state level, that it's really difficult to bring about change in the educational system. But, you know, I'm not a huge Donald Trump fan, I'm going to be honest with you, but yet at the same time, I really agree with his platforms in a lot of different realms, one of them being education. Mm-hmm. And he talks about this is a civil rights issue, education.
Yeah.
It has gotten that bad.
It sure has. And it's gotten to a point where those who believe in equal opportunities, we've talked about, those who believe in freedom, those who believe in the American dream, should be making education their top issue.
Right.
And then doing so courageously without worrying about what the special interests, the unions, Education Minnesota, whoever it is at any level, how they're going to blast them, or the NEA, or whatever.
Yep.
They're going to blast anybody that tries to give a kid a choice, that tries to allow the dollars to follow the child. They're not just going to say, no, we disagree. Mm-hmm. They're going to say, you are a subhuman person who hates kids, who wants to blow up public education. And we have to, obviously, that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
So our job has to be to forcefully and courageously stand up and say, you are wrong, you are harming children, you are setting them back, and I'm for the kid and the choice and the parent and the school.
Yep.
And I'm gonna double and triple down on that and fight back, because I think people are, you said earlier, there's still not a sense that it's percolated enough of how bad it's gotten.
Mm-hmm.
It's starting to get there, and this show is meant to sort of educate people further. And when people wake up to what's happened, I think that issue is going to rise even higher on the priority list.
Education. I sure hope so, because it has to.
Yeah.
And I firmly believe that the only way to really fix the entire educational system is to start with school choice, because then that introduces the whole concept of competition, which, of course, is why the unions don't want it.
Well, of course. I mean, if you've got a monopoly, you don't want competition. I mean, it's basic stuff. Well, I'll tell you this. This has been fun. You know what we've also learned is that people like to submit questions over digital devices.
Yes, I think so.
So we talked about technology today. Yes. It's also Saturday morning. And if I think of myself on Saturday mornings, I usually, if I'm sending a message, I'm texting it, or I'm sending it over Facebook or Twitter or whatever. So we love the fact that we adapt and overcome. And people say, hey, we're going to send our questions online and elsewhere. Mm-hmm. But it's fun to do a show like this.
Yeah, it really is.
Every 30 shows, we'll do a show like
this. Yeah, I was actually just going to say, if our listeners didn't get to put a call in or a text in or a Facebook comment in, feel free to do that after the show, because we will pick up and do this again.
Yep.
And we can save it and answer it the next time we do an open forum like this.
Indeed. And all the topics are at KLBB's website or Education Nation or LibertyClassicalAcademy.org. And again, if you haven't checked out Liberty Classical Academy, do so. It's outstanding. I really do think it is the solution, not just to education, but to saving the future of our country.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
Ultimately, what this exercise
and
is all
actually
about.
If you have any interest in touring Liberty, we have an all-access tour coming up on November 2nd from 8:30 to 9:30 in the morning, and we welcome all people to come from the outside. They don't necessarily have to have a student, but we are going to look forward to
Thanks
next
for joining
week.
Us.
All right.